What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the BTOSports.com podcast show. BTOSports.com has teamed up with us to offer you a great deal on your next moto-related purchase. It's easy. Fill up your shopping cart with at least $100 of merchandise and type M-A-T-T-H-E-S in the coupon section during checkout and you are hooked up. One more thing, folks. If you're looking for more Mathis, you're in luck. He's easy to find. Just bookmark PulpMX.com and follow Mathis on Twitter at Twitter.com/PulpMX.
Responsible if it does. What are you gonna do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You have been warned.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross, hosted by Steve Mathis.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com Trans World Motocross Podcast Show. I'm your host, as usual, Steve Mathis, and this is a very special podcast. I've worked myself up into getting it. I have no notes for this one because I don't need any. My guest on this podcast is none other than Tim Ferry, lifelong, let's go 10-year friend of mine, 11-year friend of mine. Red Dog, what's up?
Not much, just relaxing here in Florida.
Yeah, cool. And it's cool that you've been coming out to the races. I guess let's get one thing right off the bat, get one thing done right away, and you've got a little bit of an announcement, huh?
I'm going to officially say that I'm retiring from racing, so...
That's it.
A little bit tough to say, but I've kind of known for a little while, but taking some time to say it out loud and come to terms with it.
Hey, do you hear this? Do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, I just put my head in the drawer, slammed it a few times. But we kind of knew this day was coming a little bit. You know, you had that injury, you had a bad injury at Daytona of last year, and I think everybody by now should know what you did, but maybe just recap what you did in Daytona last year.
I went down. Basically, I got swapped out coming into the whoops.
I like to think you were going for the lead. The way I remember it, you were passing for the lead, right?
Yeah. I think I was going for the lead for sure.
Okay.
I come into the whoops. You know, probably about third or fourth year, and it was pretty high speed as Daytona is usually.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of swapped sideways, and I thought I had it saved. And right at that point, my foot slipped off the peg, and just jammed straight down into one of the whoops.
Yeah.
And then I got off into the hay bales, and the crash continued to get worse. Where I flipped over and landed on my shoulder, my back, and stuff. So
yeah.
But really, I broke the heel before I technically ever fell.
Right. So you broke your heel, among other things, and it's a tough injury, isn't it? As you found out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough. I mean, I think we're seeing that, you know, a little bit with Nico Rizzi. And there's been a few guys that have actually been able to come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a few guys, you know, like Lil Goose is somebody that, you know, has had a, you know, hard time with it. Everybody sees him limp around. It's tough to, yeah, Jeff Alessi also, he's kind of, you know, he broke both of his, so.
Yeah.
You're never really quite, you know, quite the same. So, but the way mine broke, you know, I shattered it for one. Basically, it was in a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
And where the Achilles attaches, broke off too, so they had to actually screw that back on. And the where the angle is with my Achilles, it's not a normal line basically anymore. So I lost all my my strength in my calf. So so just one of those deals.
Because obviously as your mechanic for 4 years, you and I talk all the time. We talked shortly after your crash, and you were hoping to come back. Your initial prognosis was good from the doctor, right? I mean, the initial thing was like, hey, it's a good break if there's such a thing, and you're going to be up and going in no time. I remember that.
Yeah, it was. It was the emotions that I had that I've never really told anybody, probably but my wife just recently, was I knew as soon as I hit the ground, and I was really having a hard time getting off the track. I knew at that point, like, I just had this overwhelming feeling that was it.
Yeah.
Because I never, I've had a lot of crashes and experienced a lot of pain, and this was something completely different. So I really had a hard time just even crawling off the track, and I knew at that point there was I thought for sure my bone was going to be through my skin and I was going to be bleeding just. I think because of the nerve pain also. So I knew right away, but then when I went to the medics, they said, well, it's still kind of in place somewhat. And then even the doctor did the surgery, seemed pretty optimistic at the time. And I tried to come back at Glen Hill and right around just after 3 months. And it was pretty apparent at that time that I wasn't ready. Then I went to the next race, KO'd myself on like the third lap of practice. And then it was just a miserable summer from there on out.
So how many surgeries have you had on it?
I've had two.
I
went back and I went on vacation after the season was over with Ryan Villopoto and his girlfriend and my wife went there, and I couldn't walk.
This is the tubby Ryan Villopoto you went on vacation with.
Yes, the heavy Ryan Villopoto.
I'm hanging out in Hawaii after getting hurt, Ryan Villopoto.
Maybe I was a bad influence at the time too.
So,
we went on vacation for a week and had a great time. But just while I was there, the walking, the sightseeing, all that kind of stuff. I was to the point where I was like, I had to sit down during the day and take breaks. I was like, man, I gotta figure something out. So I went back and opted. I had 11 screws and a plate in it. So I went back in to have that all taken out. And the day before, I did a CAT scan and come to find out the bone wasn't even healed all the way. So they had to do a bone graft, take all those screws out, put three more in, and so then I was back in a walking boot again. That was October. So basically there went my Supercross season.
Let's backtrack a little bit. So you come out of Glen Helen. I don't think you qualified, but you made it in because you're a past top 10 guy, and you struggle. I think you pulled out of both motos. Then you KO yourself at Hangtown. You come back, what, Red Bud?
Yeah, I think I came back for Lakewood.
Lakewood?
Yeah, Lakewood. I had a decent little qualifying time. While the track was smooth, and
That's where I'm kind of get to. Like, what was the last summer? I mean, for fans of yourself, and I'm one of them. You've always been strong outdoors, very strong, but you just weren't the same guy. So, what was it kind of doing last summer to prevent you from being the rider that you normally are?
Well, in the beginning, it was, even though I was in good cardio shape, I was favoring my foot. I wasn't sticking it down on the ground when I needed to, save the front end from washing out. So I was using my upper body a lot, so my riding was changing. And I could do one lap good, but when it came down to doing motos, I just could not ever find my rhythm and my balance and I thought it was all me at the time, and I was getting pretty frustrated. Working hard at home, I had some rough days where I put my foot down, it hurt so bad I'd just go sit on the other side of the field by myself for 10 minutes, and then like gather myself back up and you know try to go for it again.
Yeah.
But I just never really found my speed. I never really found my my endurance that I had.
Yeah.
No matter really what I did the whole summer, and I think the final straw really was I pulled out of Red Bud second moto because it hurt too bad.
Yeah.
And then I kind of pulled together a little bit for a couple weeks. And then Southwick, I had to pull out of both motos.
Yeah, that was tough to see. I could barely see you pulling off the track through the tears.
Yeah. Oh, I think I was crying myself. So
Southwick is your track. Southwick, you're good at too. You know what I mean? Like you can really ride well there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, being from Florida, sand's
right.
Is good, and then also I can ride the mud decent. So I had to pull out of both motos because when the bike was just moving around, I just couldn't. I had no feel for the peg.
Yeah.
And so I pulled off, and I was like, kind of wasn't going to go out for the second moto.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of stubborn a little bit, and I think I thought at the time I was like, man, I just need to push through this. And
right.
Went back out for the second moto. I think I started mid pack, and I actually dropped back to about 30th. And I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So I pulled out again, and I think that was probably the low point where I was just kind of like, hey, this is more than just a broken bone.
Right, yeah. You got some problems, yeah. Steel City, you went 12-7.
Yeah, 12-7 at Steel City.
It's good, good second
moto. I had one of the year before at that race, I had probably one of the best races I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, 2-2, right?
Yeah, I had a battle with Hepler that was... for anybody that was there, was just a great race for me, for him, for fans, and
yeah,
to go 12-7, is great, but it still wasn't the normal Timmy Ferry. So
you got surgery again, and I mean, you had a chance at some teams, right? Some guys were talking to you for this year, but you kind of knew you weren't ready.
Yeah, I had quite a few teams talk to me, and I actually talked to L&M. Colley was trying to find a third spot on the team. Among a lot of Valley called me. I think maybe Moto Concepts. There's a lot of teams that were interested.
Right.
And I just knew from the summer that I had and going through another surgery that if I got three or four races in. And couldn't do the job. I wasted a spot, for another rider, and I pretty much made my life miserable because I wasn't gonna just pull out of the third race and never, not try not to fulfill the commitment to the team.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. So, yeah. We kind of knew that this day was coming. But so are you at peace with it? Are you good?
Yeah, you know what? I am finally. It was.
It's all you've ever done.
I am.
It's all you've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is all I've ever done.
Oh, no, wait. You had a job. What were you? What'd you do for a couple weeks? Didn't you have one?
I think for like 2 weeks when I was a kid, I laid carpet.
Okay. Yeah.
with a guy that I rode with.
Yeah.
And that was miserable.
Besides,
I was
2 weeks.
So sore from doing that. And I think he did most of the work at the time, so.
Yeah. So besides those 2 weeks, racing motorcycles is all you've ever done.
That's it. I mean, besides, working on tracks and bikes and all the stuff that comes along with it, never had a paying job doing anything else.
So you're okay with it, hanging it up. I mean, you've had a fabulous career. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I mean, I can't really complain. I think I'm 35.
Yeah.
Not too many riders ever raced that long, and I had my best years the last three years I raced.
Yeah.
I kind of was going to quit at the end of 05 when my wrist was all messed up, and
right.
I had that shot with XXX and had some good rides at the end, got that Cali deal, and I was still actually going to quit at the end of 06.
Oh, yeah?
Because I just...
it was pretty tough on you, like, financially and just effort, like, just to be a full privateer like that.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the team did everything they could.
Right.
I got to really thank Colin Brown for that. He, he was the only dude that was up front with me. didn't promise the world, said this is what I can do, and
right.
He did everything he said he was going to do. And but yeah, you're working on your own practice bikes.
Yeah.
Doing your own deal. I bought my own kit suspension. I actually spent more than I made in '06 racing. So
So
I was just kind of like, I really did that for like, you know, just to prove to myself I could come back from my wrist when I had it fused, and I was still going to quit. And then, you know, Cali was interested, and I was like, well, I got to take that deal.
Yeah, obviously. Well, you came on strong at the end of that summer. Your wrist was definitely not holding you back, and you were doing about as well as somebody could expect on your equipment. You know, you were fourth, fifth, sixth outdoors.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of fifths. And at the time, I was pumped on that. I mean, I was the main thing. I was beating, you know, quite a few factory guys, and you know, I caught the eye of a Fisher and probably a lot of other people. But I had almost the most fun too, because my kid was old enough to kind of know a little bit what was going on. He traveled with me. My wife traveled with me.
Yeah.
And there was no pressure whatsoever.
Yeah.
John, I kind of felt like I was
John
doing,
Knowles
we were
wasn't
doing it on our own, yeah. And whatever the outcome was the outcome. We didn't really care.
That bastard John Knowles wasn't even building your goggles then.
I didn't realize that he wasn't building my goggles. Who was doing it?
I don't know. Not him.
My wife was doing it, I guess.
Yeah.
Classic.
But,
06, my wife was doing my goggles.
So when did you officially, when did you come to grips that you're retired? Like, I talk to you, you know, all the time, but when were you like, okay, I'm done? Recently? I know,
You know what? I just recently, I would say within the last month or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, kind of once the outdoors started.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready, and I'd still been kind of training and riding some, trying to get ready, and just it wasn't coming together. And Supercross started, then outdoors started, and I was kind of like, you know what? You know, this has been a heck of a ride, but I think this is I'm gonna call it a career.
Right. I know when I went to your place in Florida around Daytona, and I dragged you out riding a couple times. I thought back then that was it. Like, you weren't into it. You were riding, but it wasn't the same. Like, you weren't pushing, and you weren't, you know what I mean? There's no goal. There's nothing sort of to push for. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're right. I didn't have a team that was kind of saying, hey, you know, we got to be ready for this weekend, or I didn't have any goal. So, you know, 10 minutes into a moto, when you get tired, it's a little bit easier to pull off, and I didn't have endorsements, no sponsors, no commitments. It was my foot hurt too. I mean, I was in I wasn't in a good spot. For the first time, I think, in my whole career last summer, I was actually starting to get nervous. I was kind of getting scared that I was going to crash. And kind of really hurt myself, you know, bad, because I wasn't in control of my bike like I was used to being.
Right. And also, not to mention the day after, both days after we went riding, you limped. You know what I mean? You were limping.
I mean, the problem is, it really was the training side of it. And that, the thing that kind of got me through a lot of stuff was that I was in really good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be able to ride, bicycle, lift weights, do squats, you know, everything that I was used to doing,
right,
and having that my advantage, you know, riding 2 days in a row and just limping around for, you know, two or three, really kind of took my, you know, my little niche out of it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was 34, 35 years old, so.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, the market isn't there for a guy who can ride 80%. I mean, you're 80% or you're 90%. You know, with your heel, you're still a top 10 guy, but who's going to pay you? And do you want to go out there and do that? No, right? I mean, that's sort of the bottom line. You don't want to pay the physical price that you're going to
I definitely didn't. And I didn't really need to. I kind of had prepared for, you know, if I ever, you know, something like this ever happened, a big injury.
Yeah.
And also, too, about a month to 6 weeks ago, I kind of started looking for other answers. I started seeing other doctors, and come to find out, I ended up seeing quite a few doctors that basically said that, you know, once you break your heel, this is a life and career changing injury, you know, for average people, much less a, you know, a full on athlete. So that kind of helped my decision too. A little bit better with me.
Man, after you got injured, I got some scary emails that I never sent you from fans that had broken their heels.
I've gotten a lot, and I know, you know, there's people that get hurt a lot worse, you know, every day. But I did. I got a lot of emails. I got emails from you, people going, dude, this is the worst thing I ever did.
Yeah.
So that made me feel better. Johnny O'Mara, you know, kind of said that. And
did he do it?
Kurt Root. Yeah, I guess he broke his heel. He was telling my wife that still bothers him today. So Beaker, another guy who's been around the races.
Yeah, Beaks.
Still limp, think worse than me.
How is it now for you, like day to day?
You know, my daily day-to-day stuff is decent.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of still do everything that I want to do.
Right.
And, you know, if you ask me to, you know, run across a field, that's not going to work. But, but you know, my normal stuff, doing stuff with my kid, around the house, I can still ride a motorcycle for enjoyment. And there could be a lot worse things happen. So
Right. How, I know when I worked for you, you know, we had two good years and two bad years with your wrist. How frustrating was it the last year and a half compared to your wrist days when a lot of other people wrote you off? You know, I mean, you were pretty much never going to come back from that. So how was the frustration level, the pain level, and just dealing with a heel versus your wrist of a few years back?
You know, for a while, I just thought to myself that I was going to get past it. I mean, I've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had ACLs on both legs, broken thumbs, torn ligaments in my thumb, fused my wrist, an injury that, you know, ended, you know, Rick Johnson's career.
Right.
And I came back and had, you know, had my best years of my career. So I just thought it was just another one of those things. I was going to bounce back and, you know, just keep on racing. Mm-hmm. So probably be the oldest Supercross guy ever to race.
Yeah, no.
Was kind of my goal. So
was it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel, and I still feel today, that without my foot injury, you know, I still have what it takes to run, you know, mentally up front, you know, in a Supercross race, and I'm 35 years old. So
yeah.
You
ask me.
I think usually by the time you get to mid 30s, people will start to. They start to second guess themselves, or listen to critics, or magazine
people, or
internet people. But dude, some of these athletes nowadays—they're 40 years old. They're having great careers.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of it's in your mind, it's your mindset.
Yeah. Look at Wyndham. You know, he's been good, and he's what, 32, 33, and some would argue he had his best year out of his last five. You know, this past season. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would honestly say that next year could probably be even better for him. I don't see why it wouldn't. He's healthy. He's got talent. And
yeah. Are you bummed a bit about the way you went out? Like, you know, Steel City 12-7, you pull off the track, and that's really it. You know, you and I have talked about this grand going out plan, and some guys just go away and they never come back. I mean, in your case, Ala Larry Ward or Yogi, Ala, in your case though, I mean, you know, you were still 12-7 and you were injured and hoping to get better, but is a part of you bummed at the way you went out?
You know what? Not at all.
No.
Actually,
okay.
No, not one bit. I just, you know what? Actually, that seventh, you know, as stupid as it sounds, was one of my best motos of the year.
Yeah.
I did as good as I could do, and I really don't think that I could have done any better.
Right.
And I've come to grips too, you know, with. You know, finally some really good doctors basically saying, dude, this is something you need to kind of come to terms with.
Right.
Which made it easier in the last 6 weeks. So,
yeah.
I'm probably one of those guys that, is not going to stop until, you know, something like this happens. So
yeah, yeah.
I wasn't going to, you know, unfortunately for me, I wasn't, you know, Ricky Carmichael and couldn't go out with a, you know, a championship my last year and things like that.
Or even everybody standing on the starting line while they play There Goes My Hero.
Yeah, 16 or 17 times. Your dog's excited, dude. Your dog's excited.
Yeah, no, I think mom's home.
Okay.
This will make the podcast. So you're okay with that? Clearly, I'm trying to build it up, but there's nothing there. You're happy?
honestly, there's nothing there. I still want to race, but
right.
It's not going to work out. And I had an injury that, you know, I felt like I was, when I got hurt, I was in good shape. You know, I wasn't screwing around. I was 100% prepared. It wasn't a stupid crash where I fell because I was out of shape or I was doing something stupid. It was just an accident and I crashed and it was I feel like it was out of my control and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Now it's time to pay some bills.
Thanks for listening to the BTOsports.com podcast show. Please don't forget that BTO is the world leader in aftermarket motocross parts for the bike or body. You'll find deals like a Shoei VFXW helmet for $309.99, 45% off, or Smith Piston goggles for $32.99, 65% off. Your order can be shipped to anywhere in the USA for free, or if you're not in the USA, we ship worldwide. Check it out at btosports.com.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about guys like Yogi and Larry Ward and how they at the end of the season, you know, they just quit. That's it. They don't come back. And I mean, yeah, sure, you're no Ricky Carmichael as far as championships, but, like, you have fans, and Yogi had fans, and Larry Ward had fans, and you know, like, it's good to have this announcement that you're retiring and we do this podcast. I mean, kind of is a good idea. I don't know. You and I have always laughed about how Yogi just went away and never came back.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, and I had the same feeling that, you know, the sport was, you know, when I didn't show up for Supercross, the sport was moving on.
Right.
So I did have those feelings that maybe they were having. And, do you think about how many race wins he has?
Uh-huh.
You know, Larry Ward, the same thing, you know, great careers. You know, there's a bunch of guys like that.
Yeah.
But it's something that kind of, it was kind of weird. I went to Jacksonville. I went to Atlanta. So people were kind of excited. But when I went to, what was the first race? I went back to Texas for the National.
Uh-huh.
And outdoors is kind of where I think my fan base really is.
Yeah.
And just to see, you know, to not be able to walk to the pits and have fans just kind of like, what are you doing? Why are you not racing? Like, freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of let you know that, you know, people are, even though you're not there racing, people are still thinking about you. And like you said, they're still fans and they remember, you know, a specific race. A lot of people always come up to me and say that they'll never forget, you know, Bud's Creek.
First moto.
Motocross.
First
no, no.
Oh, not that one?
Well, that one. One where I think, no. Bud's Creek 2007 Motocross Nations. I mean, I have 50, 60-year-old, you know, guys still today at a national come up with a Bud's Creek t-shirt on from that race, you know, all dingy, and they say that, you know, that's a day for them that they'll never forget.
Right.
And, you know, just seeing, you know, the Americans win like that, and, you know, just me being a part of that team is kind of like, man, you know, that is a big deal. Like, you know, it's probably like you and Dilla back in, what was it, the 80s?
87, yeah.
87 when they won, you know, you and Dilla, and I was a part of that race, and people kind of, they associate me with that race, and we won the next year. And so once I went to Texas and people really took to me, I was kind of like, man, it's kind of a bigger deal than I think. I'm a bigger deal than I think I realize, because
right.
Around home, I'm just a normal guy. You know, you know, I'm a father and a husband. So so I thought it was only fitting to kind of, you know, put something out and say, you know, thanks to everybody, and this is kind of what I'm doing.
Right, right. And then also, too, like, I hung out with you a little bit since you've been helping Trey Kennard, and Yeah, I mean, good God, how many times can you answer the question about why aren't you out there?
Yeah, that's a joke. Trey goes, when a fan, he can tell when a fan's walking up, they go, hey, are you racing? So, that'll well, now it'll just turn maybe to, hey, congratulations on retiring. So,
yeah.
Maybe in a year or so, it'll be like just, hey, what's up?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know how it goes. I mean, yeah, the fans, I mean, I'll be there for you, but I don't know how many, you know how it is, the kids forget quickly. They forget quickly.
Yeah. The kids do. I mean, they forget because they're just getting into it, but,
yeah.
You know, the dads don't forget, and, you know, I've had, you know, I really feel like with the motocross, the two motocross of nations wins really mean more to me, I think, to fans than almost everything else I did combined. Just being a part of that. So those are things that I feel like if I quit in 06 and never came back, I really wouldn't have the following and the notoriety that I do now. So
yeah,
thankful for these years.
So you mean the 2003 year when I went with you and we lost and it sucked balls? That's not what people remember?
People are not going to forget the American going to Zolder and with a Canadian mechanic.
Yeah.
And us losing.
And us getting smoked.
That was a miserable. That was a Yeah, my wife stayed up all night icing my thumb the night before the race. All night.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off.
Yeah, your father-in-law guarded the gear bag from the thieves.
Yeah. Yeah, my father-in-law guarded the gear bag.
Beaker giving you vented gear in October in Belgium.
Oh, I'm still pissed at Beaker for that one. Yeah, vented gear, it was snowing in the morning.
Yes.
That was a miserable trip. I don't want to. I just assume forget about that.
Like out of everything that you do as a pro motocrosser, what are you going to miss the most? What's the one thing that's going to kick you when you're sitting there at home?
I would say probably the thing that I've noticed so far, which I can't say in the future, but so far is just kind of having somewhere to be in the morning, something to get up and go do. I've always, you know, from the time I've been, well, even as an amateur, but pro, I've been, you know, I got to be in shape. I got to go train. I got to go ride. I got to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got somebody that's paying me to perform. And so I've always lived under a little bit of pressure to go to work every day, getting up. So, and just, you know, I always thought it'd be cool to not have that much to do, but it's actually not that cool.
Hey, tell you what, bud, why don't we switch and I'll find out how not cool it is.
Yeah, it was cool for about maybe a couple weeks, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm kind of driven a little bit and ambitious, so I kind of have to have, you know, a purpose and a goal and in mind, and that was kind of the hard part with trying to come back but not really having a team and a set race, things like that. So just having a full day of riding a motorcycle and doing what I love is probably what I'll miss the most.
And you know, I wrote a column about you called The Dark Days of the Dog on my site. I'll probably put it back up on Pulp MX in honor of this announcement. But I mean,
in honor, like I just passed away.
No, but here's where I'm getting at. Like, I don't know if there's been too many guys who have been written off as much as you. So after you got dropped from Suzuki in 97, there's no possible way you could have imagined your career finishing the way it has. And then after you got dropped by Yamaha in 05, there's no possible way you could have thought your career would have went on and been as successful as it was, huh? Like, that's just amazing to me. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't think when you look back, it is kind of amazing. But when you're going through it, you know, it's just another day. I'm getting up and I'm you know, doing what I have to do. But yeah, looking back, it's kind of neat and it's cool and it's a great story. And I really thought that this last one would be no different. So
yeah,
I was already kind of plotting another comeback story. So but you know. I think you know, I actually asked LaRocco and I've asked people a few times, like, hey, when do you know it's time? And
he told me a couple years ago, he's like, you'll just know when it's right. And a few people have said that.
Did he actually say that much? LaRocco actually said that much?
He actually did. There wasn't anybody around. And I was cool. I asked him about it and asked him what he's been doing and things like that, because I'm always curious. I mean, since I've been 30 years old, I've been supposed to retire, so.
Yeah, you've been washed up a few times.
So, yeah, I think, you know, too, another thing is just saying, hey, I'm retired, and is tough to say, so that's probably why I've kept racing, too.
Yeah, to finally admit it, right? But, I mean, you know, there's just no way, like you said earlier, you could have thought you would have had this kind of career when you came out of Loretta Lynn's in 91.
Yeah, 90. Actually, race there is in 92.
Yeah.
And 91 in the A class. So
yeah. I mean, it's funny because you've said a few times that when you were like racing as a 125 guy, you were like, oh, I'll just do this for a little while and then I'll go get a job, I guess.
Yeah, it was different back then, you know.
Yeah.
People's career was over early, and it's kind of something I had just always done since I was a kid. I rode motorcycles, and
yeah.
There was a point in 93, I was already pro, that I was still going to high school. And I just kind of, one of my friends was going to ride with me because I had nobody to go ride with me that day. And he kind of like said something like, hey, dude, why don't you get serious? And because he was asking me about what I was doing. And I'm like, man, I could be really good if I just probably trained a little harder. So at that point, I decided, you know, started to look at it as a career, you know, where I think nowadays kids really look at it as a career from the time they're 10 years old, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you never really looked at it like a career, huh?
No, I mean, my career was going to school. I had to finish high school first, and then, you know, whatever after that, then, you know, it was up to me.
Uh-huh. That's pretty funny when you think about it. And then what, like, how have you done financially? I know that's something that'll be on people's minds. I mean, how is everything going that end? And I mean, I kind of know a little bit about it, but you put some money away from all those years, and you're just going to be burning hundreds in your fireplace? Is that how it works?
Yeah, whenever it gets cold in Florida, which is not often.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah, we're just going to burn money, and that's how we're going to heat the house.
But no, you, no, you, I mean, put I, away,
I've
right?
Done,
yeah.
I've done well. I mean, I think, you know, I probably could have maybe not bought a motorhome or two, but.
Hey, and who told you to not get that motorhome? Who told
you? Did, I know.
Who told you to not get the motorhome?
I know. But everybody was doing it, you know?
If everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?
Probably.
You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me about that one agent that I told you about, and then you should have listened to me about the motorhome.
I know. I should have. There's always going to be things. You're always going to look back and, man, I wish I would have done that different.
Did you lose a ton of money on that motorhome, or did you sell it to close to what you paid for it, but then all just the headaches? Is that what
you're... No. Anybody that tells you that they sold a motorhome for close to what they paid for it, they're lying. Because basically they don't want to look like a dumbass.
So you took a bath. You took a bath on it.
Yeah, we took a bath on it. We enjoyed it, though, because my kid was just born.
Right.
And so at the time I was making good money, and I had a good time in the motorhome.
Okay.
We lived in California.
Yeah.
Just me, my kid, my wife, and
Newport Jays.
Sometimes we drove it, and we had fun in it, though.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But financially wise, it would have been cheaper to stay at a 4 or 5 star hotel every weekend and fly first class. But,
I know, huh? I know.
But it was fun, and but to answer your question, I think I've done pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, barring anything catastrophic, you know, health wise ever happening. You know, I should be pretty good, and
yeah,
as long as I stay busy and have a little job, then I'm good.
Who could have ever imagined that when you were making $23,000 at Suzuki in 94 or whatever?
$24,000, and I was pumped.
You were like, yes, big money. Oh.
Yeah. It's been good. I mean, I don't know. I can't complain. I have no regrets on that side either, really.
Right. No, that's cool. So let's talk a little bit about your new deal. Now, are you and Trey Kinnard officially a couple, or are you guys still dating?
I don't know what you mean by couple.
Well, like, are you in bed with each other as you're going to be his mentor, riding coach, slash trainer, slash whatever, or are you guys?
Yeah,
still?
We definitely need to come up with a title because. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm actually going to help him through the summer.
Okay, so it's been determined.
Yeah, he asked me if I'd help him through the Nationals.
Yeah,
and which for me is really, really cool. It gives me kind of gives me a little bit of something to do, and I'm realizing that I knew more than I really gave myself credit for. just racing for so long, so and he's only 19 years old, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's fun. It's not a not a forever thing, but it's for the summer, and I think he knows that I have good intentions in helping him. And
how do you like it? How do you like it? Just being a guy at the races, but just watching.
You know what? I don't mind the watching part. Now I know what it feels like to be my wife.
Yeah.
Just basically being, being at the races and wanting, say for Trey to do good and, being excited when he has a good race. So, so I don't know. It's been good. I mean, it's a little bit awkward not having a lot to do and not being the center of attention, as us riders are used to being.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, it's no pressure. It's low pressure. It's pretty easy for me, and it gives me it keeps me kind of traveling a little bit. That's something I kind of miss a little bit is a little bit of traveling. You know, we travel too much almost.
Yeah.
In a full season, but
yeah,
when you don't travel at all and you're used to traveling your whole life.
Yeah.
I have a hard time occupying myself, so those 2 days are good for me, and I don't drive my wife nuts. So
I've been doing this thing for 16 years traveling the circuit, So, and when you got hurt, it was weird being at home so much.
It really is, It's one of those things people are always like, man, I bet you're ready to retire. I bet you're ready for this. You're ready to stay home on the weekends and do this and that. And I'm realizing, I heard Wyndham say it once before when he had his little hiatus where he retired or did what he did. And
yeah,
said that there wasn't as much going on and he wasn't missing as much as he really thought.
Right.
And I don't really, my friends are at the races. So, I'm going to be happy to be home on 4th of July this weekend and a few things like that and holidays and not worry about I need to get to bed or I need to eat this on holidays and stuff. So those things will be nice, but I enjoy the little bit of travel too.
Might be a little more wine consumed nowadays, huh?
Well, I got to be careful because this whole retiring and not being as active is a little bit tough when you're used to eating 4 or 5,000 calories a day.
Yeah. And also, too, getting back to retiring, like Stanton, 26 years old, Bradshaw, like 25. You know what I mean? These guys were done. And, you're 30, 34 and still going.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, and like I said, without the heel injury,
yeah,
I would still be going. And, look at John Dowd. He's still going strong, and he goes fast. So.
Is he retired? I don't think so, huh?
He's never. He is me if I hadn't broke my heel.
Yeah,
never gonna give up and say it's over.
right. And still going fast at Southwick.
Still going with a patch over his eye.
Yeah. Remember when you said to all of us that you could beat John Dowd with an eye patch on, and then he beat you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he beat me. I was, that right there is just shows you. Don't open your big mouth and say you're going to do something until it's done.
Do you remember when you were beating him and then you went off the track into the banners? That was the.
I couldn't get that.
That was the universe getting you. That was the universe getting you.
Definitely, it wasn't John Dowd, and it was definitely the universe. So.
Yes, exactly. So, hey, getting back to Trey, what kind of stuff do you help him with? Like, what does he ask you? What do you point out? Just curious about what kind of effect you're having on him.
You know, it's kind of changing every week. In the beginning, it was just kind of feeling him out and seeing, what his program's been like. Obviously, he's been really, really successful. So,
for me to come in and say, hey, I did this or that.
Right.
He's a 19-year-old kid that's had huge accomplishments. So, you know, as a ex-professional, you have to respect that and work around, you know, what works for him. What worked for me is not going to work for everybody. And so just trying to be open-minded with them. The main thing in the beginning was just, you know, kind of being an extra set of eyes
right.
at the track for lines or, you know, being able to go watch the start of, you know, of a moto before you. Because when you're a rider, you're worried about, you know, resting and you can't be out just cruising around the track wasting your energy.
Right.
While the 450s are going. So that's kind of, and that's what Ronnie Tischner did for me when I hired him back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
He was just an extra set of eyes and somebody that I had confidence in that was going to come back and tell me what I needed to know without a lot of BS. So,
yeah.
So I started there and then I started to help him with, you know, really hydration on the weekends. How to eat his meals during the day and, you know, make sure he's not too full when he goes on track or he's not, mm-hmm. you know, his stomach's not empty, things like that, that kind of came natural for me towards the end. And then kind of helping him with his routine during the week and, just barely tweaking a few things, like I said, because he's already so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like you guys are getting along good. I've been hanging out, a little bit with you guys and seems like, I think he likes your sense of humor, which is, you don't realize it, but it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, no, he's been, I've always said that if I was ever going to help anybody or anything like that, he'd be the kind of guy. I think our personalities are real similar.
I always thought you were going to be more J-Law guy, but oh well.
To tell you the truth, I think if I could get J-Law under my wing, I could do something with him. So,
dude, you love J-Law.
I don't say I love J-Law. I don't like some of the things he does.
No,
but I like his personality and I like the flavor that he brings to the sport because, dude, not everybody can get on the podium and say the same stuff every time. And
not everybody can jump on a supercross track in the middle of a moto.
No, not everybody doesn't, you know, his mind is so off that he could just go and just stop on the side of the track and drink water from the fans or whatever he does.
Yeah.
How do you even think of stuff like that? So,
yeah. Brilliant, huh?
Yeah, so no, I don't like some of the things he does. I don't think he likes some of the things he does, but he's got a ton of talent, and I like his fire. So.
Right. And with Trey, having a good result in Lakewood this weekend helps out, huh?
Yeah, that was good, man. I mean, it was, you know, everybody was like, man, did a good job. And I was like, well, I've kind of only been helping him for, you know, a month now. Mm-hmm. So he's been racing his whole life almost. So I like to think I have a little bit of a part, but it was good to see him have a good race for him. And that's where he really thought he should be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he should be at. So let's just try to get him there every weekend now.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think he has been struggling a little bit. I haven't seen him up front on the starts, you know, and that's a big thing. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a breakthrough weekend. He's never finished a whole outdoor season either.
Yeah, he said that, or you said that, and I was surprised at that. But yeah, looking back on it and thinking about it, that's absolutely true. You know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. He never finished a whole outdoor season. So, dude, I didn't realize that his first full year was 07.
Right.
So, dude, he was, I mean, he's such a, you know, a young kid. Right. 07, that was like 3 years ago. So,
yeah.
He doesn't even have that many races under his belt at Nationals.
Well, if you consider,
when you really think about
it. He's never done outdoor Nationals, and he's never done a whole Supercross season. He's always been a regional guy. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. What's,
yeah, I think he's got a really promising future, and yeah, I'm glad to help him for the summer.
I think you're doing a phenomenal job with him myself. But
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
what's your take on the Nationals itself right now? Dungy's just on another level right now. Huh? He's kind of separated himself.
Yeah, I mean, Dungy's, he's pretty solid. He's consistent. The one thing I like about him is that, you know, Josh Grant, you know, beat him this weekend, but he just, okay, well, I'm going to get second, and
right.
I'll come back out the next moto and
and do what I have to do. So, yeah, he had some patience, and that's kind of cool to see somebody that's confident in themselves, and he's dialed in.
Yeah, I tried to get Chad Reed on the Paul Bomek show yesterday. And he said he had nothing to say because he had nothing positive going on in his life. What do you make of that?
You know, as a rider, everybody's been there, and he will obviously bounce back. But yeah, I could see him being pretty frustrated right now.
Right, and as a rider too, you know that I kind of thought to myself, you know, like nobody's going to talk to this guy because he didn't have a good weekend, even though he's Chad Reed. Your phone always blows up more after you do well. And so I thought, you know what? I bet you no one's calling this dude. I'm gonna call him up. That's kind of what.
I'll give you an A for effort.
Because no one. I'm sure your phone was silent after the heel injury.
I went a long time, and it was definitely a little silent. The people that really mattered called, so that was all that mattered to me.
You were a bit of a recluse though for a while.
Like, yeah, you know what? I kind of really did.
No, you were not recalling me back. I remember that. You were.
I just didn't really have a lot to say, just like Chad Reed right now. So
you're like, hey, I'm healing up. I'll see you in a little while.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like right now. Hey, when you coming back? Hey, what are you doing? Well, you know, how many times can you say, hey, I can't walk, or right. I'm going in for another surgery? So
yeah, exactly. And I've been seeing you around the track, and yeah, you know, you look like you're hanging out with Cowie guys a little bit still. So all's good there. And
Yeah, no, I kept in touch with all those guys. Some of them more than others, but
yeah,
I got a good relationship with those guys. I like to go and actually see those guys. When I say my friends are still at the races, I consider that, you know, I'm a big part of that, a big group of guys. So,
any regrets in your career? Anything you think about that you wish you would have done?
You know, I think maybe if I could have been, if I had better advice early on as far as the training side of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, or somebody that, you know, could have guided me a little bit better, I think, you know, maybe I could have done a little bit better. I really regret never winning a Supercross race. I wish I could have done that.
Hold on. You won a Supercross race.
Well, I won the Summercross, and I did beat the King.
That's a win, bud. That's a win.
You're right. A win is a win, and I won at the Coliseum. So how many people can say that?
Yeah, exactly. And the first time they're going to go back, I told Wygant this weekend, you were the defending LA Coliseum champion. Because they're going back there for X Games this year. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I had a big crash the day before that Summercross, too.
Yeah, you did. So not winning a Supercross, a real live one, is one of your regrets. Yeah,
I would say it was a regret or a goal that I wish I had done, because I won a class and a race and every other class that I entered.
Yeah,
and I came really close a few times, and but yeah, that would be cool to be able to at least kind of say I'd done that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
all my trophies are in a closet right now, and. So, all in boxes.
Your closest you came, probably Pontiac 02?
Yeah, like a lap and a half to go, and it ran off the track.
Yeah, that's the one that Ramsey won.
Ramsey won it. I don't like Ramsey, so.
Yeah.
If I could have gave it up to anybody, that would have been, he'd have been my guy.
Right. I thought you were going to say one of your biggest regrets was letting Chaparral fire me after the 99 season. I got F there.
Yeah, and then I got your truck, too. That was a bummer.
Dude, they took my money.
I will say, I felt bad about it, but I still drove it.
Thank you. Yeah. Or maybe not getting me over to Yamaha sooner could have been one of your regrets, but apparently not. Apparently you were fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's probably a lot of things. I wish I could have been probably a little more selfish.
Really?
With my racing and training, I think... I think if I was more selfish with my time and things like that, I could have I could have maybe done a little bit more, but I'm just a little too nice, so I can never say no.
Yeah, but you weren't nice on the track always. I mean, definitely you were an aggressive rider out on the track. So.
No, yeah, once I got to the track, there was no friend. So.
But you know, like without getting into names, you know, there's riders out there that are racing now or that are retired. that when you ask somebody in industry about them, they go, man, that guy was a dick, or that guy was weird. Like, you know, and with you, right now, years from now, people are going to go, what about Tim Ferry? They're going to go, yeah, Red Dog was cool. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to leave that impression on people. I think as a person, I think you want people to approve of you and, yeah, and like you. So, right. I think that's only natural. And as far as that go, I think I've left a good attitude with people and, yeah, and a memory that I was a stern and strong racer on the track, but you know, nobody, you know, off the track could say I wasn't a nice guy. So, yeah, but I mean, once the racing, you know, racing starts, it's competition, and that's one thing I'll definitely miss.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. And you know, if you come back next year as a trainer coach, perhaps you take on your greatest challenge, the JT Money.
Actually, JT, he's doing the Dade City Sponsor Cup.
Yes,
and we're gonna work on some turns with him this week. So.
Are you? Yeah,
he wants me to help him out a little bit. It's weird. Like I got a few kids that I've helped here the last few months that are doing pretty well, and now this thing with Trey. Now everybody calls me, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that?
have you noticed that? Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Really?
So.
Oh, that's funny.
So, which is cool. I mean, I enjoy it, yeah, so it's fun.
I get a lot of mechanics calling me, asking me for tuning tips, so.
Yeah, somehow I don't see that. I don't know why, but.
Thanks, jerk. Well, hey.
Because you're media now, and you're a better journalist and media guy than you were a mechanic.
No, that's not true.
Oh, yeah. I think anybody would say that.
No, I'm not a media guy, for one, and I was a badass mechanic, and I won't hear anything else.
you were a good mechanic, but I'm going to go with journalist.
Journalist better, just because I make you
laugh. Journalist better.
Hey, well, let's do a part two coming up on your career. I'd like to cover, you know, specific years of your career and talk about Suzuki days and Nolene days with you and Factory Yamaha and Factory Cowie and all that, because I think it'd be an interesting podcast. But you want to do a part two? Let's do that sometime in the near future.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's do that. And yeah, I'd just like to say thanks to thanks for one to all the fans and all the teams and people that helped me along the way from the time I was a little kid to till today. So
yeah.
You definitely couldn't. I couldn't have done it without hundreds of people, and I'm very thankful.
Yeah, and let's face it, with me around, you're going to still get publicity.
Yeah, you have single-handedly kept me in the spotlight. Without you, I would actually be a nobody at this point.
It's tough to do.
I would be like George Holland on a peanut farm right now. So,
it's tough to do when a guy's not racing, but I'm trying my best.
Yeah, it this sport is kind of tough. I think every sport's probably the same, but
yeah,
there's always a young kid trying to take your job.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. So, well, thank you, Red Dog, for doing this podcast, and thank you from all your fans. And I'm not going to say any more because I'll probably just tear up. But we'll do a part two coming up, and I will see you around at the races, man.
Sounds good. Thank you, man. I appreciate you always being behind. Well, for one, being my mechanic, and now giving me a lot of plugs on media.
Yes, yes. I am helping you with your second career now.
Yes, you're making me money at this time as we speak.
All right, man.
I'm kidding about that.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
This has been the BTOsports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows, including motocross legends such as
The Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, you know, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, you know, that I was going to miss.
The daughter, Ron Lachine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. I mean, you know, and I know from personal experience, did anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuits, Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, like so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled fifth and I left. Every point counts. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tenth. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way, you know?
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
Stuff that you'd sit there if you didn't even want to ride it, you just wanted to just look at it all day. I mean, I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Search Mathis on the iTunes Store to find these and many more great podcasts. I won't let this die.